Ministries of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler, and I'm here with my friend Mark Martin. Mark, let's start the program out with prayer.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that we can come together this evening with our listeners, that we can praise your holy name for all the gifts you've given us,
Amen.
Especially the gift of your Son, Jesus, and the plan of salvation. Please send your Spirit with us this evening as we study. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Rick. It's very nice. It's always good to remember those who are listening. We want to welcome everybody to the Prophecies of Hope program. You know, last week, Rick, we talked about a topic that I think most people are familiar with, but it might have been new to some who aren't Christian, and that's how are we saved?
Mm-hmm.
And just some of the high points, I thought maybe we could highlight a thing or two from last week's program just to kind of recap where we were, and then I think that'll segue nicely into this week's program.
I think you're right, Mark. We talked a lot last week about how we are saved, how God provides salvation for us.
Right.
That it's not through any works that or deeds that we might do or by keeping the law. We talked a lot about how it's God's work in us that saves us.
Okay. Now, you did a real nice job last week of explaining that. Just give us an overview of some of the things we discussed. Maybe highlight a verse or two from last week's program.
Well, we went to Genesis last week, as I remember, and we talked about how sin entered the world. We talked about how there needed to be some way for God to help us with the penalty for sin. The penalty for sin is death, ultimate separation from God. And there had to be some way that he could bring us back into a relationship with him, because he is the ultimate creator. While Christ may be our hands-on creator, mm-hmm. that power ultimately comes from our Heavenly Father.
Yes, it does. That's right. The Father is the source of all things, would you say?
Yes.
Okay.
So we talked about Christ being paying the penalty for us, that when he died, having the perfect character, the sinless character that he had, and the divine character that he has, the divine nature that he has.
That's right.
His sacrifice was actually immeasurable, or something that cannot be measured. And it was enough to pay the penalty for all of mankind's sin completely.
That's really a powerful thing when I think about it.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure I mentioned this before. I know I did. How difficult it must be for a father to allow his son to be separated from him and to come here to this earth and die on our behalf, knowing in advance and understanding that he would very likely be rejected by the majority.
That is amazing. You know, as a father, I have two children, and I would do anything for them.
Absolutely.
To take away the pain in their lives, you know, anything I could do to reduce the pain in their lives, and to have a heavenly father that would allow his son to pay the penalty for all of us, that just is an incredible thought.
It really is. It's hard to imagine something like that.
You know, tonight we want to talk about not just about the plan of salvation, but really what God expects of us, what God would like us to do, not just in return for salvation, but so that all of creation can be in harmony. You know, I said last week that the principles of the Ten Commandments, the law of God, these are really relational principles.
Right.
And principles to keep our relationships on track. The last six commandments are our relationship with our fellow men and women. And the first four commandments are our relationship to God. And they're kind of like guardrails to keep us in the right track.
Yeah, I like that, guardrails, because we constantly need to adjust. I remember hearing an illustration many years ago. If you're driving down the highway, you know, you're constantly nudging on the steering wheel, no matter how straight the highway is, and no matter how straight your car is going, there's always a fine adjustment to make. And I think that as Christians, as we come to know our Father and His Son more and more, we recognize that we have adjustments to make, maybe in our lifestyle and some of the things that we're doing, and things that maybe I would have been acceptable in my eyes a year or two ago, now they're not, because I'm growing into this relationship with the Father and His Son.
I think that's an excellent point. It's always, we're always on a path to growth, a path of growth in our relationship. We don't only do that with divine beings, the Heavenly Father and Son, but we do that horizontally, not just vertically, but horizontally with those that we know, we interact with right. Our family members, our children, our parents. It's always, relationships are always in a growth process.
They are. If we could begin a little bit of this conversation by taking a look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. If we were to read through the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew chapter 5, mm-hmm. and we were to read it the way it's written, it would probably take us about 15 minutes or so to read this sermon.
Wow. Okay.
Now, there may be a lot more that was said. We don't know. Because we know there were a lot of things that happened in biblical times back then that are not recorded. But the things that were recorded by Matthew are absolutely amazing to me. And Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus gives us some warnings. He gives us advice. There's so much information in here. He teaches us how to pray. He tells us what our hope is. This is just for anyone who hasn't read the Sermon on the Mount. I recommend that you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 and read Matthew 5 through 7. It's a wonderful sermon. And one of the things I wanted to point out here is if you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17.
Okay.
It says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." So, Rick, after reading a verse like this in Matthew chapter 7, what comes to mind for you?
Well, like I said in the beginning, I think these are relational issues. God is not a do or don't God to me. The God of the Bible is not a do or don't God.
Well, when I read the commandments, it sounds like it.
Well, you know, when we put those into relational understandings, these are not difficult things to understand.
Okay.
They might say do this or don't do that,
right.
But that's because of the basis of the relationship underneath. Now, Mark, I want to go on with your reading in chapter 7 of Matthew and read. Could you read verse 18 and 19 also?
Okay. Verse 18, it says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
Now, this is Jesus speaking on the mountain.
It is.
And what he's telling us is that there are consequences for the good and the bad things that we do.
Yeah, that is what he's saying, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, those consequences are all about the relationship that we have with him and his Father. If we want to love someone, if we want to be in good graces with someone, we will do the things that here in this text, a good tree would do, bear good fruit.
I see. Yeah, I guess the next verse, even verse 20 goes on because it says, "Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them."
That's right. We often say, does that make that person a bad person if they do this or that?
Right.
Well, this text seems to indicate by the things that someone does, you understand what is in their heart. What kind of relationship do they have with God and with others? So we can see by the outward things. Now, I know there is a text in the Bible that says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart."
That's right.
And I don't have that at my fingertips here, but I think that's in Samuel. And he told Samuel the prophet to be very careful that he didn't look on the outward appearance because God looks on the heart.
Well, I think, too, it's also in the Gospels. I think I've got it here in John chapter 7, verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Now, the other thing is, another translation does say, "according to outward appearance," but the King James says, "according to appearance." But I would say that this is probably saying the same thing that you are.
Yes, I would agree.
You know, if we go back to Matthew chapter 7,
okay,
and we had read, 17 through 20.
Yes.
But verse 21 is interesting to me too, because this is Jesus again, Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven."
Wow.
So to me, this in a sense, this is saying that just because you know who Jesus is, just because you call on the name, doesn't necessarily mean we're saved. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. It goes back to verse 20, that by their fruits we will know them.
Ah, that's right. So when we say by their fruits, give me an idea. How can I identify someone as a follower of Christ by their works?
Well,
or
you know,
fruits.
I think there are a lot of good people in this world.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of good people. But I heard someone say one time that good people don't make it to the kingdom, only righteous people.
Now, what's the difference?
Well, the difference may be in relationship, but also it's in how that the fruits of that relationship come out in how they treat others and how they worship God.
Okay. So are you saying that how they treat others is a reflection of their relationship with God?
Yes, I certainly am.
But I do know people that, I know somebody who is an atheist, openly an atheist. And I'm going to tell you, he treats me as good as any person I've ever known.
Yes, I would agree with that. And that's why we can look at the outward appearance, but that's not always an indication of what's in someone's heart.
Ah, that's true.
And I did look up that text, Mark, where God sent Samuel the prophet to look for a new king.
Okay.
And he warned Samuel not to look at the outward appearance of the men he was looking for. And that's in 1 Samuel 16:7. And let me read that for you. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, in my Bible I make notes, and I have a note here to look at 1 Samuel 9:2, and here's what it says right along with this looking at the outward appearance.
Okay.
It says, "And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul."
Ah.
"There was not a more handsome person." You know, and then it goes on talking about from his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. And it seems like when we're looking for a king or someone to be in charge, we want them to look nice and we want them to have a good stature.
Oh, yes. So that's what we see in modern day media.
Yeah.
We see that everywhere. We want to look at beautiful people. We want to see beautiful people. And their personality is made more beautiful by the way they look.
Yeah. And, you know, really, that's a false sense of who we are.
It is.
Because the outward, like you were just pointing out here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, that's the outward appearance. That's not what's in the heart.
It is the outward appearance.
You know, this is a nice study because we're getting some things. Now, let me ask you something. Just your thoughts. There are texts in Scripture that show that there are certain things, like, for example, in the Ten Commandments, we've talked about there are things that God does approve of and things that he does not. Many of the commandments come across in a negative sense, it seems.
They do.
You shall not, or you shall not do this, you shall not do that. But there are also some that come across in a positive way. We know that the one about honoring your father and your mother is the first commandment with a promise.
Yes.
That we will prosper should we honor and obey our parents.
Yes.
Now, are there other places we can look at in Scripture that show that there are certain standards that God has for us? And the reason I bring this up, Rick, is because I know a lot of people that are very good people that I have a lot of respect for as a person. And they'll go to church on the weekend, and during the week they live a totally different way.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is a dangerous lifestyle. And I also think that it's dangerous for us to say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. I do what Jesus tells me to do, but maybe we're living with a mate and we're not married. Can we look at some texts to maybe help the friends that are listening clarify some of these thoughts?
Well, first, I would like to address one portion of what you just said first.
Okay, let's do that.
And that is, when we live a dual life, or when we put on faces or put on appearances for other people, that's not being honest with others. It's
that's
not
right.
being honest with ourselves. We need to make choices in our lives that can stand up to what others think of us. We need to not be so concerned with what others think of us. And if we're living up to all the light that we have, all the righteousness that God gives us, we don't have to be concerned with what other people think of us.
Amen. I think that's very important.
Yeah. I think when we look one way and act one way on the day we go to church, or maybe when we're around other people, and then we act something totally different during the week, we're not being even honest with ourselves.
Right.
And I have to admit, it's something that I've struggled with in the past. I put on nice clothes to go to church. You know, I try to look my best.
Sure.
But I've gotten to the point where I want to look that way because I'm going to worship God, not because I want to make an appearance for other people.
Yes. I think sometimes the problem that we have is because we see people in front of us all of the time. We tend to be one way when they're there and another way when they're not. But we tend to forget that God can see us at all times.
Our ultimate duty, though, is to our Heavenly Father. And
yes.
I'd like to direct the study here to a text in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, written by the smartest man that was ever created. I believe that Jesus was the smartest man, but I don't believe he was created.
That's right.
But this is Solomon that is writing here in Ecclesiastes, and that's chapter 12 and verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
And my Bible says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man."
Wow.
What do you have to say about that, Mark?
Well, you know, I personally love texts like this, and maybe it's my background. I have people that tell me sometimes, well, you know, you tend to be more on the works-oriented side rather than on the grace-oriented side.
Yes, I've heard people say that about you.
And I do. I'm trying to strike that balance. You know, this is something difficult for me because of my background. But I do think that when we talk about fearing God, I don't think he wants us to be terrified of him as this tyrant or this person that's going to destroy us because we don't worship him. I think that godly fear is a fear of displeasing God, not because of what he's going to do to us, but because of it possibly harming our relationship with him.
You know, that is so important. If you take a very close look at this text, again, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It talks about the fear of God first and then keeping his commandments right after that.
Right.
So, in my estimation, this text is talking about a deep relation with our Heavenly Father first, the relational aspect which leads to keeping all of his commandments.
Ah.
And we'll want to keep his commandments because of that relationship. And I don't know, I heard you say balance between works and grace or works and faith. But I would say, Mark, if we put faith first, then works will fall into line and it will be somewhat easy, because it's just like having a relationship with someone that you love deeply and
right.
wanting to do for that person whatever they need, whatever they want.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I have to say that I do tend to be more on the works side Not that I think I can work my way into God's kingdom or into heaven or the new earth, but I do think that what we do will directly reflect whether or not we get into the kingdom. In other words, we have to have the relationship, as you're saying. I believe that's key. On the surface, we can have a relationship, but it may not necessarily be sincere.
Oh, that's true. You know, there are things that my wife wants me to do around the house that I don't necessarily want to do, but I do them in love.
Sure.
Because I recognize that they need to be done for our home life. And it's not just for her, but it's for us.
Absolutely.
And I think that can be the same way when we view 10 commandments that seem to be do's and don'ts, mostly don'ts.
Right.
It's not only to please God, but it's so that we can be happy also, so that our relationship with Him and with others remains intact and remains healthy.
Yes. You know, the latter part of that verse you read there in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, when it says, fear God and keep His commandments, in my translation, it says, for this is man's all.
Wow, that's powerful.
For this is man's all.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, you know, when I learned the commandments, I started doing them because I thought, well, this is going to help me. And in some ways, it did.
Oh, it does.
For example, one of the commandments that I think we talked about in an earlier show that I struggled with was the fourth commandment about remembering the Sabbath day.
Mm.
And for me, you know, that was a very difficult thing because I was used to doing anything I wanted on that day. My business was open. I'd go to work. I'd do anything. And I took the step to say, you know what? I know this is not what pleases God based on what the commandment says. So I prayed about it. I decided to close the business. I decided to not do the things or go to do the things that He didn't want me to do on that day. And boy, I tell you, at first it was difficult.
Mark, what I'm hearing is that it started with relationship first. You recognize that these are things that God wanted you to do.
That's right.
And that's called relationship.
And because I wanted to please Him,
that's right,
I could take the stand, and it worked.
So, I don't know, be a witness for Him. How has it worked out for you?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I'll share this. I have an auto repair shop, and I do keep the seventh-day Sabbath, as we talked about,
mm-hmm.
which is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the first week that I had prayed about this, and I prayed and I told the Lord that I was going to keep His day holy, according to the Scripture, my wife comes to me the very next day and says, there's an auction this coming Saturday. Of course, that's when most auctions are. And she says to me, would you like to go? And I said, well, you know, I said, I can't. And she says, what do you mean you can't? I said, well, I decided I was going to keep, you know, we had discussions about this before. And I said, I decided I'm going to keep the commandments as God has written them in Exodus.
Wow.
Boy, I'm telling you, I wanted to go to this auction really bad because there was some automotive equipment that I knew was going to be there that I wanted. And so what I did was I said, no, I'm staying home. I'm not going to go. Even though I really want to go. And I prayed about it and prayed about it. I didn't want to give in. And lo and behold, my wife comes home from the auction. She told me it was terrible. There wasn't many people there, but there was a lot of stuff. The following Monday, I went into work, and this auction was right beside my business.
Okay.
And I go into work, and I'm talking to the gentleman that had the auction, and I said, well, how was it? He says, it was horrible. And as we talked, we walked over to his building. And as we go in, I see all of this equipment still there.
Wow.
And I said, you didn't sell any of this stuff? He said, no. He said, nobody knew what it was. And I said, well, you know, this machine right here, I pointed to this particular machine. I said, you know, I'll buy this from you. How much do you want for it? And he says, you know what? You'd be doing me a favor if you just took it.
Oh, my.
And he did that with three other pieces of equipment. He gave me thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And I have to be honest, Rick, I equate that to because I took a stand for what God asked me to do, I believe that I was rewarded for taking that stand because I would have gone to that auction otherwise and bought that equipment.
That's right. Paid cold, hard cash for it.
Yeah,
right?
I would have done it. And to me, it's quite a testimony to me, for if you, even if in your heart you desire to do it, if you take a stand for the Lord and he knows you're sincere, it's going to reward you somehow. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually, if your heart is right, he sees it and you will get a reward.
You know, that is tremendous. That's a tremendous story, Mark. It starts out with faith and relationship, and it ends up with the works portion of what we've been talking about keeping the whole commandments of God. That's a tremendous story.
Yeah, well, I've shared that only on a couple of occasions. Some people might think it's a little hard to believe, but, you know, when we look back at the relationship that Job had with the Heavenly Father, you know, he stood his ground.
Yes, he did.
And he did the things that he knew was right, and he never cursed God. It says in all of the things that happened to him, he never sinned with his lips.
Amazing.
And I think about that, and we look at the reward that Job received at the end. What a beautiful story that was.
That's true, yes.
Now, one thing that I would like to do, I want to get back to the gospel. But before we do, while we've got just a little moment here, I'd like to thank New Visions Radio for allowing this program to be aired on newvisionsradio.com. And also, we want to invite you to go to our website. I think I mentioned this last week, Rick. We've redesigned the website. It looks much better now.
It's much more user-friendly.
Yes, it is. And we're going to be adding to it on a regular basis. That website is www.prophecyhope.com. And Rick, if they want to email you, how do they contact you?
They would contact me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Okay, and you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. That's Mark with a K, M-A-R-K. But I do want to say to you that, you know, please visit the website. Please send in your questions and comments. And two, tune in to New Visions Radio. Go to their schedule, and you can see when we will be airing. We air several times a week, mostly on Sundays. Our new program starts every Sunday morning. So tune in there whenever you can. Now, back to the gospel. Where were we there, Rick? We were in Matthew chapter 7, weren't we?
Matthew chapter 7, that's right.
And we said that was this is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'd like to talk about that I mentioned just a few moments ago is accountability. Because we were talking about people that live a certain way during the week. They go to church on the weekends, and their whole demeanor changes. The way that they act changes. Or maybe there are people who are couples who are living together and they're going to church. Is this acceptable in the eyes of God?
I think when you take the whole picture of the scripture, God has a way that he wants us and even requires us to live.
Yes, I agree.
And that word requirement today really has some negative connotations.
It does.
But you know, these requirements are not, they're not over the top. They're not things that are difficult. If we truly want a relationship with God and we want to live rightly for our Creator, we'll seriously consider everything that he's asked us to do.
Amen. You know, I think about when you were a child and you wanted to please your parents, there were certain requirements that your parents had if you were going to live in their home. When you work for an employer, there are certain things that employer expects of you. And if you're not doing the things that he asks or she asks, then we no longer have a job.
You know, my little story about that is, my father was a fairly strict parent. He was, as most of you know, a minister, a Protestant minister, and a fairly strict parent. When I got the chance to get my own place, I took that chance quickly after going to school. But, you know, my dad would always say, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to abide by my rules.
That's my dad, too.
And but the first chance I got, when my father visited my first apartment, I gave him that same thing back. I don't remember what it was about, but I looked at him and I said, if you're going to come into my house, you're going to abide by my rules. I think we were having dinner at my house or something. And
how did
and
that
he
go
appreciated
over?
That a
oh,
lot.
Okay.
But no, I was respectful to him.
Sure.
And We had a good laugh at that. But, you know, we live in God's universe.
Amen.
He created everything that we know and see, and even us.
That's right.
And when we're living in his house, so to speak, we need to abide by his rules.
Yes. One of the verses I'd like to take a look at that kind of holds us accountable for things is found in 1 Corinthians. You know, the Apostle Paul was used more than any other Bible writer. He wrote more books of the Bible than anyone else.
Mm.
And here in 1 Corinthians, this is a powerful message. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." And then it enumerates these folks. Listen to this carefully, and I think we need to talk about all of these. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God."
That's pretty powerful in today's language, isn't it?
That's very powerful. And let's take a look at these one by one. And friends, hang in there, because he goes on to say, I'm going to read all of this, and then we're going to come back to this. He goes on in the next verse, and he says, "And such were some of you." In other words, he's telling these folks that you used to be any one of these, or maybe all of them. Some of you were.
That's right.
Some or all of these things. But look at what he says. He says, "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God."
Mm.
So what does that mean to you, Rick?
It means that there's hope for anyone today, no matter what we are struggling with.
Yes.
Any one of these things and more, not just what's listed here.
Right.
Are things that, although we're struggling with those things, God gives us the power to overcome them.
Amen. Yeah, and that's powerful to me. And like you said, everything isn't enumerated here. Paul was just kind of hitting the surface. He knew that he was dealing with people that had come from these backgrounds. And the thing that I appreciated about it is that they were once these very people.
That's right.
Remember at the outset I mentioned that there were things that I may have done a year or two ago that now I wouldn't do.
Yeah, we're all in a growth process.
Yeah.
And overnight, we're not going to change what our character, and God is not going to change our character overnight. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes faith first.
That's right.
And all these things can be swept out of our lives if we start down that road of faith and relationship.
Amen. So let's take a look at verse 9 here. It says again, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So he makes that clear right off the bat. If you're unrighteous.
That's right.
Now, I think all of us without Christ are unrighteous.
That's true.
Every person.
That's right. No matter how good we think we are, no matter how good we are to each other.
Amen. But he says, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators." What is a fornicator?
Someone who is involved in sexual vice in some way, okay. I would say.
In other words, go ahead.
It pretty much runs the gamut. If your sex life, your sexual life is outside the bounds of what the Bible guidelines are, then to me that would be fornication.
I would agree. And, you know, we have a tendency to just coin it as having sex outside of the marital arrangement, but it can encompass more than that.
It can.
Okay. The next one is adulterers. No, I'm sorry. The next one is idolaters. Idolaters.
Idolaters. So this is not just talking about actual worship of a false god or a god that's not our creator. This is talking about putting anything before God, whether it's money, your job, even your family, you could put in place of God.
Sure. Maybe playing a game or sports or recreation.
Anything like that.
Anything.
Gambling, substance abuse.
And when we say putting these things before God, let's talk about that for a moment. What do we mean?
In other words, something that's more important to you than your creator.
Ah, yeah, that makes it pretty clear.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it would be the same as, you know, in a relationship with a husband and wife, we try to put, you know, I try to put my wife first. But there are times that I might be on my computer, I might be doing a little study or something, and I might tend to neglect my wife for a period of time.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
I think that happens to all of us.
It does.
You might be watching a game or something, and your wife walks in front of the TV, and you, hey, honey, move out of the way there, would you? You know. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't think you'd do that, Rick.
No. No,
you wouldn't.
Not me.
So the thing is, nobody likes to have something else put before them, and particularly our God. The scriptures call him a jealous God. He says that himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just like in any relationship, I don't want my wife looking at some other guy. That's going to make me jealous. But he has a righteous jealousy.
I don't think that would happen, Mark. You're such a handsome fellow.
Yes, I am. I have a face for radio, don't I?
Hard to argue with that.
So we go on. We've covered fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Adulterers are those who would have a relationship other than your spouse, the one that you are married to.
And I don't think it's just talking about the marriage relationship. It's talking about, in a spiritual sense also.
Okay.
You know, we would love to make religion a selfish thing.
Yes.
And we see that in many religions around the world, where we want the easy way out. We want to be forgiven in our sins, not from our sins.
Oh,
you know what I
wow.
mean by
yes,
that?
I know exactly what you mean by
and,
that.
And, you know, this makes us selfish, and it makes us really adulterers from
yes.
true religion.
You know, we could say in the same vein that Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree, they committed idolatry because they were putting that before God.
That's right.
And they were committing spiritual adultery because they were cheating on God.
That's right.
So that gives us an example of these things are not just in the literal sense, but they cover the spiritual realm as well.
I would agree.
Okay. The next one is, it says, in my translation, it says homosexuals.
You know, I think this is a difficult subject today, Mark.
It is.
The Bible is very clear about what God expects in our interpersonal relationships.
Yes.
And homosexuality is, it's very clear in the Bible that type of relationship is not acceptable to God.
Yes.
And, you know, but that doesn't mean that it needs to be, we need to look down on people who are of that persuasion or having difficulty in that area. In this text, we have seen right here that there were people that overcame all of these things, including homosexuality.
Absolutely.
So there's hope for anyone today who really wants to give their heart to God and do what he wants them to do.
Sure. And, you know, I want to make this clear. As human beings, we tend to take certain aspects of, we could take this verse that we're reading right here and take certain aspects of it and say, well, this sin isn't as bad as that sin.
Oh, that's right.
And I think that's wrong to do that.
I believe you're right. Sin is sin. It separates us from God.
That's correct.
And causes our ultimate death. And every one of these things, no matter what it is going to separate an individual if they put that before God.
Absolutely. And, you know, friends, we realize that what we're speaking of now is not politically correct.
This no, it's not.
This isn't something that people like to hear. But, you know, on this program, we want to speak Bible truth. And let me tell you something. My toes get stepped on as well. You know, when we're reading certain passages of the Bible, I recognize, and I think I mentioned this in this program, I tend to be works-oriented. And so when we speak about righteousness by faith, and when we speak about grace, I believe those things, but it's hard for me sometimes to come to grips with that, having the background that I have. So we all have our inner struggles, every one of us.
And we can't be looking down our noses at someone else who's
Amen.
Struggling with something else. When we recognize that we have our own faults, and we turn away from looking at the faults of others, and make our attention on God and what he's doing in our lives, then the focus is not on others and their faults. And so I think that's where our focus needs to be, is on God and his son Jesus.
Absolutely. And friends, if we, any of us, come under any of these categories, it doesn't mean that we stay away from our church or that we stay away from God. We continue to go. We continue to try to be with those of like faith, because this is how we grow, and this is how we can be helped to overcome the very vice that we may have.
You know, Mark, I'm sure you've heard that our churches, our places of worship, they're not a place where only perfect people or righteous people come
Amen
to worship.
To that, brother.
They're hospitals for sinners.
Yes.
That's what they should be.
That's what they are.
And when I walk in the door, that's what I need to remember, that I'm there to worship God and to focus on him, and not to look around in all the seats and the pews at all the people and see what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. It's an easy trap to fall into. So as we go through this, the next one says, nor Sodomites. And we know that when we look at the very name of Sodom and Gomorrah comes from having anal sex. These are the type of things that is disapproved of in the Bible. And in some cases, this would go right along with the homosexuality.
Yes.
The next one is thieves. Thievery is stealing.
And it's not, again, it's not just a physical thing.
That's right.
I mean, thievery goes right along with the next thing, covetousness. When you want something and you'll get it at the cost to someone else,
right,
that's thievery. That's stealing. And it can be anything. And it can even, today we live in a world where people are stealing even property of other people right from the internet.
Right.
You don't even have to know the person or see the person. You could be thousands of miles away and stealing something from them.
If you work for a company, you can steal time from them.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's just so many things. The next one is, let's see, drunkards.
Mm.
And we know what that is. That's abuse of alcohol.
Yeah, and I think any substance abuse would go along with that.
I agree.
And I think God has created us with a sense of being even regal, in a sense, that we are created with thoughts and emotions that are high above anything else that we know.
Amen. Any earthly creature, that's for sure.
That's right. And you know, we need to live up to that. And I think if we put ourselves in a place where we're abusing alcohol or drugs in any way, any mind-altering anything, puts us in a place where we're not giving credit to our Creator. We're not honoring him with our lives.
Amen. So now the next one, it says, nor revilers. What does this mean?
Revilers, okay. Someone who brings on mischief, or someone who is ready to bring on injustice also.
Okay. Maybe someone who's abusive.
Abusive, yes.
Okay, so that could be in any kind of relationship.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
With your boss, or if you have employees, with your employees, you'd be abusive to them.
Yeah.
You know, on and on and on. We see that in current society today, don't we?
We do. You know, God is very specific here.
Mm.
And the last one, it says extortioners. What is extortion?
That's a big word. To me, there's a sneakiness in theft with that. Maybe you're manipulating people to get what you want, maybe to get funds, money, wealth. And it could be that you're an extortioner with relationships also. That would be someone who doesn't respect people.
Okay, very good. So as we go through this list, we look at that again. I'm going to look at it. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the beauty of this is, he says, and such were some of you. Friends, the point that we're making here is if we come under any one of these categories, if we come under any of these categories, we have a way of hope.
We do. And that's the beauty of the gospel message.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. Now, he's saying that if we are practicing these things. Now, I want to give you some hope here because, you know, nobody is perfect. And I'm going to tell you, there have been times that I can look at this and I can say that in my lifetime, there have been times that I was not sober. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm a drunkard, but I was not sober for that period of time.
I see.
And I think that, you know, anybody that sins, we can have forgiveness of sins. But the beautiful thing about this is, and I want to make this perfectly clear, and I've said this in other settings before, some people would look and say, well, if I am an alcoholic, they say, I've heard, and I don't know how true this is, but once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic.
Yes.
Does that mean that if I'm an alcoholic, I can't enter the kingdom of God?
No, I think that if you're an alcoholic, I believe God will give you extra power to overcome the things that you are dealing with.
Amen.
With alcohol.
Amen. I agree with that, Rick. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we come under any category in this list that Paul gave, if we are still practicing any of these things, God will give us the power to be able to put this behind us.
But you know, what it really takes is just that seed of faith. And even that seed of faith can come from God.
Amen.
Okay? That seed of faith says, when you're listening to a show like this, or you hear something like this, where God is trying to reach you, trying to reach into your heart, and have you look at the things that are going on in your life. That seed of faith says, look, I'm going to get on my knees this evening. I'm going to get on my knees in the morning. And I'm going to talk to the God of heaven and say, I want help with this thing. I want help with that thing in my life. I hear your spirit speaking to me about these things in my life that you want out of my life. And Father, I want help in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If God is love, and I truly believe that he is the personification of love, any person that would pray such a prayer to God is going to receive help in the areas that God wants his life to be cleaned up.
Amen. That's beautifully put, Rick. I agree 100% with that. And friends, you know, we want to encourage you. And we haven't talked a lot about this, and I think maybe we should talk about prayer and prayer life and why it's important.
That may be a great future show.
I think it would be, because there are different types of prayers that we can pray, and Jesus taught us how to pray. And, you know, we want to encourage you, if you're listening to this program and we've touched on something that might be sensitive to you, it might be something that, a vice that you have, take it before the Lord. Ask the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name to help you to give up whatever that is that might be coming between you and your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, if you ask and you are sincere, you will overcome. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy and pretty, does it, Rick?
Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm sure, you know, with the story you had about keeping the Sabbath, there were some difficult times with that. I'm sure there
absolutely.
Were.
Absolutely, there were. But, you know, you get to a certain point to where it's just, it's a lifestyle, and you don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think of the Sabbath hours as guilt-free rest time.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I think it is. Because I don't have to worry about all the things that I do during the week. And it's guilt-free because it's not my decision. It's God's decision to have that time set apart, the Sabbath set apart. And I can just put off on God all the things that everybody else wants me to do. I can say, no, I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to do those particular things because God has set this time apart.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I've always liked when you say that guilt-free rest, Boy, we could all use that, huh?
No doubt. You know, if you'd like to contact us about this show, or if you have any questions, maybe a specific question, you can contact me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can contact me at mark@prophecyhope.com. And friends, we want your thoughts. We ask too for your prayers, you know, that we can continue to do this broadcast, that we can continue to bring God's word to you. And if there are things that maybe we're saying that you disagree with, we welcome that criticism. You know, we are students of the Bible just as you are.
Yes, we are.
And we learn from one another. And Rick and I have had to correct each other and back up. And, you know, we want to hear what you have to say. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, Mark, we've got a few more minutes left in our program. I think the last place we wanted to go in Scripture was Matthew chapter 6.
That's a little before where we just read, so This is still in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it?
Most people know these texts. These texts are talking, Jesus is actually praying, and he's praying for us, but he's also teaching us how to pray. Hmm. And in many, many churches, the people know these words by heart. Hmm. Could you read Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse maybe 9 or 10?
Sure. Let me just start in verse 9. This is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
These are powerful words, Mark.
They are.
If we really stop and think about them, you know, Christ is saying we can ask our Heavenly Father for everything that we need, even the bread that we have that we need, the sustenance for life. And he talks about forgiveness here.
Yes.
And I believe he gives us everything that we need to overcome the sins that we've been talking about this evening.
Yes, I do too. And I love this because, friends, this prayer doesn't mean that you pray this way every time you pray, but it's showing us the things that we can pray about.
Sure.
That we can ask for forgiveness, that God will forgive us. But you notice that he says that we will be forgiven according to how we forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's important. You know, you made a comment just a little bit ago, Rick, that the church is a place, it's a hospital for sinners.
Yes, it is.
So when we look around the church and we see people, we have to be careful that we expect, if we're judging them a certain way, we better expect that we may receive the same judgment.
And so we need to treat each other and other people the way we want to be treated.
Amen.
And if we can hold off on the judgmental side of relationship and work on the love side of relationship, you know, Jesus had the perfect example when he came and he loved the sinner, that's you and me, mm-hmm. but he really disliked and he hated the things that we did. He hated the sin that's inside of us.
Amen. So, but he does love, he hates the sin, but loves the sinner.
That's it.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. And before we close this program, let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we're grateful that we can come to you, and we thank you so much for this avenue of prayer. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for the commandments that you have given us that are, as we said, the protection, the guardrail for us, that keep us on the straight and narrow. Father, we thank you for these studies and for all of those who are listening. We pray that until we come together again the next time, that you will help us each one to remember these things. And if we have any of these vices in our lives personally, that you can help us to get rid of them. And we know through the power that you give us through your Spirit that we can get rid of these sins. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we want to thank you again for tuning in. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.